Tax Resolution Ninja Show, where we feature the top experts on all things tax to help you understand, navigate, and resolve all your tax-related issues. Now, let's get started with the show.
Hi, I'm Alan Rolnick, the host of the Tax Resolution Ninja Show, where we feature guests and talk about issues from all walks of life, from taxes to health, to economics, to personal finance, sales and marketing, employment, and many others that are too numerous to name. Previous guests on my show have been Jeffrey Schneider, Eric Cohen, Adrian Miller, Sylvie Heyman, Alex Kuhn, Evan Rabin, Samuel Wiener, Robert Hernandez, Nancy Schick, Jerry Nyland, Fernando Coetz, and Terrell Turner. This episode is brought to you by Tri-State Tax Resolution. I'm Alan Rolnick, and I'm also known as the Tax Resolution Ninja. I run a tax emergency and trauma room for people and businesses who have problems with the IRS. Most people and businesses wait until they get a letter from the IRS before they take action to resolve their problem. In many cases, they wait until they receive a notice of intent to levy. If you have a problem, don't wait for that to happen. The idea is to get in front of the problem before they contact you. If you let them reach your door, the party begins. They will levy your wages up to 85%. They will seize your Social Security check up to 90%. They will levy your bank and brokerage accounts. They will seize your other assets and revoke your passport. They will leave you with your children and dog, and for better or for worse, they will not take your spouse or partner or mother-in-law. The client did not report the sale of his house on a tax return. The IRS picked it up, sent him a bill for $147,000. I was able to save that client the entire amount because the IRS did not give them credit for the $500,000 deduction allowed on the sale of the personal residence. The client also saved tens of thousands of dollars on their state taxes as well. When we take on your case, we have your back. You will never have to speak to an IRS agent. We take care of everything and we permanently fix the problem. And in some cases, literally save the financial lives of the client. If you cannot meet your tax obligations, especially if you're running a small business, you need to contact me, Alan Rolnick, Tax Resolution Ninja, at 718-841-7317, or visit my website at www.tristatetaxresolution.com before the IRS contacts you. The life you save will be your own. I have with me today Sari Ibrahim. Sari Ibrahim's business is to help high net worth individuals, real estate investors, business owners, and retirees grow and protect their wealth and predictably and safely. As a financial consultant, health and life agent, Sari has cultivated a reputation for putting his clients first, no matter what. He prides himself on attending all client meetings without expectations or preconceived ideas to ensure that he is solving his clients' problems. That's the value Sari offers. Sari, thank you for joining me. I really appreciate it.
Hi, Alan. Thank you so much for having me on. Thank you.
So tell me, how did you start this?
So this all started about 5 years ago when I was doing my master's degree in business. I was in grad school and I started working at Allstate Insurance. I was in risk mitigation and in sales. And after that, I wanted to kind of a career change. So I merged into the healthcare world. I started working with companies like Blue Cross Blue Shield, Humana, Cigna HealthSpring as a Medicare consultant. And I worked with a lot of retirees who were like 64, 65 years old, merging off of their employer plan into their own Medicare plans. So I helped them make that transition. And I started to build a relationship with these clients. And during that time, one of my clients asked me if I could help him with life insurance. And he even said something about cash value life insurance, something in the policy that grows over time, that eventually the policy can pay for itself. And I had no clue what he was talking about. So I started to do research for him. I went to Amazon and I searched for books about life insurance. And I came across this book called The Bank on Yourself Revolution by Pamela Yellen. And the book pretty much talks about this concept called the Bank on Yourself concept, also known as the infinite banking concept. In other words, it's the utilization of dividend paying whole life insurance, mainly for the cash use, for the living benefits while you're still alive, to be able to use the policy, the whole life policy, to become your own source of financing, to store cash, to build a retirement, to pretty much anything you want. Same thing how you use a bank, but with other benefits, of course. And then after that, I founded the company Financial Asset Protection. And our main focus right now is using the bank on yourself concept for real estate investors and business owners.
So how do you use the insurance to invest in real estate?
Yeah. So we are talking about, so there's different types of insurance out there. There's life insurance. There's term, whole life, and universal. Term life insurance is just like the title of it. It's for a set period of time, like 10 years, 20 years, or 30 years. You buy it, you pay for it for either 10 years, 20 years, or 30 years, and it's only life insurance. There is no cash value in it. And then if you live within that time, after that time period, then the insurance company pretty much doesn't owe you anything. That's how it works 99% of the time. Whole life insurance is for your whole life. There's only two ways it could end, is if you pass away or if you stop making payments to it. So it's for your whole life. It's a permanent form of insurance and it has cash value. Universal, I won't get too much into universal, but it's pretty much a combination of term and whole life. There's some variable parts to it, variances to it, but it's pretty much term and whole life combined together. So just to make everything simple, we're talking about whole life insurance, and whole life insurance has cash value that builds up in the policy, like a savings account with the policy. So it has two functions, the life insurance and the cash value part to it. And the infinite banking concept is pretty much using whole life insurance to build up as much cash value as you possibly can, and to even earn dividends and compound interest from the insurance company that it's a part of. So that's pretty much how you could use it. So for example, you could fund a policy over time, build up money in it, it'll earn dividends and compound interest, and then you can access that policy to use for real estate investing. The same way how you would go to a lender to borrow, you can go to the policy and borrow from the policy. And I'll get more into that, but there's a reason why one would rather go to a whole life policy and borrow money from there instead of going to lenders and instead of even using cash.
Okay, but you can borrow against your insurance policy up to a certain point, because then you start pulling out your investment. Is that right?
Yeah, you could borrow up to 90% of the cash value, and it's important, Alan, that we're referring to the infinite banking concept, which means that this doesn't work with all life insurance companies and products. It has to be from a mutually owned insurance company, not a stock-owned insurance company.
What's the difference between the two?
Mutually owned insurance companies give their dividends and profits back to the policy owners, whereas stock-owned insurance companies give their dividends and profits back to the shareholders. So it has to be a mutually owned insurance company, so that way you can get the dividends back in your policy. And then number two, it has to be, of course, whole life insurance. It can't be universal or term. And then number three, it has to be, there's something called a paid up additions rider. This is a part or a piece of the policy that turbocharges the cash value over time. So you need to make sure that the insurance company has this thing called the paid up additions rider. And then after that, there's something called, this is the most important piece. It's non-direct recognition loan versus direct recognition loan. You want to make sure your policy has that non-direct recognition loan piece to it. And that means that, let's say you have $100,000 in cash value in the policy, and you're a real estate investor or a business owner, you need some liquidity, you need some cash, you go to the policy, you borrow $50,000 from the insurance company, they'll give you a loan for $50,000, leveraging your $100,000 as cash value, but you still keep earning dividends and compound interest on your entire $100,000 as if you've never touched it. That's non-direct recognition. If it's a direct recognition company, then they'll recognize your outstanding loan and then reduce the dividends and compound interest based on the fact that you have an outstanding loan. So it needs to be a non-direct recognition loan company.
Okay. So have you had any cases where your client has borrowed the money from the insurance policy to buy some real estate?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I worked on a case with a real estate investor. He sold one of his properties for like $400,000 in cash. And then he was thinking about, he wanted that to be more liquid cash. So he was thinking about putting it into like a CD or a brokerage account. But he felt that, based on the options we went through with him, he specifically wanted to do a single premium whole life insurance policy, where it's just a one-time payment towards a whole life policy. It's kind of like buying a house in cash. You just buy the whole life insurance policy with one payment. And as soon as he did that, he had $375,000 in cash value, and then a death benefit or life insurance of $580,000. And now both the cash value and the life insurance grow every single year, regardless of market conditions and without any more further contributions. So he's doing this policy now and he hasn't used a loan yet, but he's in the process. He could essentially go to himself as his own mortgage if he wants to borrow. And now when he goes to borrow from the policy, there's no underwriting involved. There's no financial underwriting involved. He doesn't have to qualify for this loan. He can go to get this loan anytime he wants. You know, they're not going to do a credit check or check his credit history, anything like that. The policy is already collateralized. There's no collateral required. So that's pretty much what he can do. And a lot of our clients are real estate investors. So we are setting up this way where they can access the policy, borrow, pay it back on their own terms. And of course, back to the whole non-direct recognition part, how the cash value keeps growing, even when you're using the money, that becomes even the cost of capital becomes cheaper to use your whole life policy than it does to use cash. Because when you use cash for these transactions, you can no longer earn interest on that cash. But if you're using your whole life policy and borrowing from your whole life policy, you're able to recoup that cash. It's like saying you have a savings account that's earning you 5% interest, for example, a turbocharged savings account that's earning you 5%. And then you want to access that savings account because you need money. If you go and access it for like $1,000, for example, you're not just taking out $1,000, you're taking more than that essentially because of the loss of opportunity cost in the future, the amount of money you could have earned had you had that money in there. So the logical thing would be to borrow against that savings account that you have at a lower interest rate. So that way you can have like an arbitrage where you can have like a split. For example, you're earning at 5%, you're borrowing at 2%. Now there's a split between 3% of your money. So the cost of capital becomes cheaper that way than just using cash for these large purchases. And even worse, using other people's money and paying interest to them.
Okay. So what's the differential in what the insurance company is paying in dividends versus the loan that they're giving you?
Yeah. So on average, so the cash value that you have in the policy, it grows two ways. It grows from compound interest, and then it grows from dividends. And then that together comes out to about 4 to 6% every year compounded. And then when you go to use that money, they're going to charge you 5% simple interest compounded in arrears. So if you did it over 4 years, for example, it's going to come out to about 2% APR interest. So we could say, let's just say you did a 4-year loan, it would be 2% APR interest, but you would earn 5% on that money. So your money is compounding and growing even when you're using it for business or anything you want. There are no restrictions on what you can use the money for. And Alan, this is exactly what like banks and large corporations use. They have billions of dollars in whole life insurance. They earn, you know, 4 to 6% compound on it every year. And then when they need that money to pay their employees, to pay for expansion, to pay for all their bills, they borrow against it at lower rates. So this way they're making money in the policy and they're making money selling their products and services as well.
So what about someone who can't come up with a single payment on the policy? It takes them years to be able to build up enough cash value to be able to do this.
Yeah, exactly. And in most situations, I started my first policy paying $300 a month, just $300 a month. And then I have something called room in the policy to add more into it, to add more towards the cash value. But as you know, as a CPA, whole life policies have a lot of tax benefits, but up to certain points or certain limits, because there's something called a modified endowment contract. If the policy exceeds that limit, then the policy now can become taxable. So in my situation, I was paying $3,600 per year towards a policy. And then on the anniversary day, I had the choice of to continue to pay $300 a month or to write a check for $3,600 or to write a check for $3,600 to pay up the policy in full. So I wrote a check for the annual policy, and then I added an extra $3,000 on top of it to fund towards the cash value to build up the cash quicker and to earn more compound interest and dividends on that amount for the later years. But I couldn't add more than that, because if I added more than, let's just say I added $5,000 extra, then the policy would become a modified endowment contract. And then now when I go to use that money in the future, I'll be taxed on the gains in the policy. But right now, the way it's structured, I'm using after-tax dollars to fund the policy. It's growing tax deferred. And then when I go to use that money, I don't have to pay taxes on it under current tax law. And I'm sure you know that's how the whole life policy, that's one of the benefits of it. And that's why a lot of real estate investors love to use whole life insurance, is because the tax deferred growth. And in most situations, not in every situation, but in most situations, when you go to use that money, it is tax-free money because you've already paid taxes on it. And under current tax law, that's how the policies are structured.
Now, if for some reason it happens that you pull out more than the cash value, then that part becomes taxable. Am I right?
If you borrow, you kind of lost me for a second.
Okay, so if you pull out, you have a certain amount of cash value that you can take out.
Yeah.
If you go beyond that, then that becomes taxable.
So the insurance company won't give you more than 90% of your available.
I know, but sometimes the policy, because you're not all right. If you're not paying back the loan, at some point it becomes there's less cash in there than enough than the face value of the policy.
Gotcha. Then in that situation, if your loan balance exceeds your cash value, then the policy can lapse. So what you want to do is to avoid that from happening is you want to pay back the loan within reasonable time. And we have a calculator that we use that we show clients that if they borrow, you know, X amount of dollars, that this is the maximum time they can pay it back without the possibility of their policy lapsing. So you do want to pay back the loan within reasonable time. And I know reasonable is kind of subjective, but you want to pay it back at a certain point. And we show them how to pay it back and how to pay down that loan so that way they can keep their policy and growing. But you're right. If somebody does take out a loan and they never pay back the loan, they could lose the policy. They could essentially lose the policy.
And then have a taxable event on top of it.
Yeah, exactly. And then have a taxable event on top of it.
Right. Okay. Interesting situation. I mean, I had a client who, I don't know, took out a term policy, actually. Mm-hmm. I have a client who took out a term policy way back. Now she wants to sell it. Is that possible?
Yeah. I always thought that was the strangest thing, but yeah, you can. You can sell it. You're pretty much selling the death benefit, but the only way you could really do that is if you're expected to die in like the next, I think, 2 years or less than a year. Because think about it this way. It's usually like a financial group or institution that's going to give you that money. And they want that money back out of the term policy. Okay. So it's typically people who are dying soon and they just want that money to kind of live the rest of the last year or the last 2 years of their life, you know, with that death benefit money.
Okay. So what happens if they don't die within the 2 year period?
Well, and again, I don't really deal with this at all. This is a completely different world almost, but I'm almost certain that the people given the money are the same way. They have the same minds as underwriters and lenders. So they probably, if they didn't think that person was going to die, they probably wouldn't give that money, you know?
Okay.
And they would still leverage the policy. So even if the person lived like longer than a year or 2 years, they would still leverage the death benefit of the policy.
Okay. Do they get the face value of the policy or they something less than the face value of the policy?
The client?
Yeah. Does the client get the face value of the policy?
Yeah, I'd assume they would get like a certain percentage of that because the lender is taking on the risk of giving them an advance. So for example, if it's $1 million death benefit, I would imagine they would probably get half of that, you know, upfront,
okay.
$500,000, and then the lender would take the rest when they pass away. Difference.
Okay. So I get it. I don't know. You know, I was thinking about why would somebody want to buy your policy if there's no cash value in it?
Yeah.
So it just didn't make any sense to me, but okay. I guess it can be done today.
Yeah. It's a good question. Yeah. I did come across this, but I don't really, you know, yeah. It's such an odd subject.
I know. It was really, you know, she's asking me this question and it was like really strange. Why do you want to sell your term policy? It only pays out when you die. But I guess you can. Why would I want to buy something like that? I mean, it just seems so. I tried to talk her out of it. I don't know if I did or not, but anyway. So what else do you do besides when you're not selling insurance?
Yeah, I've been, believe it or not, Alan, I've been doing about like 3 guest podcastings per day. So wow. I've been swamped with this and I love it. I love, you know, podcasting now. I do a lot on real estate investing and entrepreneurship now. And I talk about, you know, like what I started, financial asset protection and being an entrepreneur and how it's the hardest thing I've ever done. But at the same time, it's rewarding and I love it. I love the entrepreneurship side and the podcasting side too. And I've been also like, trying to get into the whole coaching world too, like motivational coaching and, right. and talking to people right. and helping them become entrepreneurs. You know, a lot of my clients are on the verge of, you know, they're W-2 employees and they're on the verge of starting their own business. And I'd like to help them with that. I'd like to push them there more from the motivational side and coaching side, not necessarily from, you know, the advice, like legal advice, tax right. advice. I'm not right. an attorney. I'm not an accountant,
right.
but more so from the push. And that's right. what I, that's one of my hobbies now.
That's great. You can turn that into a side, into a sideline.
Yeah. Yep. Exactly.
You should start your own podcast.
Yeah, I am. I'm working on it. Yeah. I want my first episode this year, 2020, before great. The new year.
That's great.
So I have my,
It took me a while to get it going, but I finally did. I finally did back in June, I think it was, and so you know, it's some work, you know, to find the guests and to set it up, but it's when I do it, I have a lot of fun with it. It's I really enjoy it.
Yeah, sorry, go ahead.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I was going to say, yeah, it's really nice because you get to really know the other person. Like, right. I know what you do now, even though I'm in Chicago, you're in New York. I know what you do. I know who your ideal clients are. I know what your specialty is, all from podcasts, you know, all from listening yeah. to your podcast.
Absolutely.
So it's pretty cool.
Absolutely. It's really good. So any hobbies?
Hobbies?
Hobbies besides hobbies, books you read.
Oh yeah. I love books. I'm always reading a book, sometimes more than one, because I'm too impatient to finish the first book to start the second book. But yeah, right now I'm reading Barbarians at the Gate. Have you read that book?
No.
Oh, okay.
What's it about?
It's about the leverage buyout of RGR Nabisco.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's an awesome book. I'm really into like mindset. I'm really into, you know, positive mindsets. There's a book called Mindset by Carol Dweck. And she pretty much talks about the differences between a fixed mindset and a growth mindset. Yeah. I love reading books. I love when the weather's nice. I love going for runs. But of course, you know, with, you know, the pandemic and COVID,
right.
a lot right. of hobbies have been, you know, reduced. You can't even, you know, go outside yeah, anymore. Barely.
Can't do a lot of stuff. I know. Yeah. It's a bad situation. Hopefully they'll get the virus, you know, the vaccines out, you know, relatively soon. Though I think it's going to be at least another six months. That's my own. I'm not basing it on anything I know. It's just a feeling that I've got.
But, oh yeah, absolutely.
So, all right. So I appreciate you taking the time. And it was good speaking to you. I hope we can do this again. This was fun.
Yeah, absolutely. Once I have my podcast, I would love for you to come on as
absolutely.
A guest.
Absolutely. I would really like that.
Yeah. And I appreciate you having me on.
I thank you for joining me. And we'll talk soon.
Okay. Sounds good, Alan.
Take care.
You too. Thank you.
I have other episodes that you can listen to. So I can be found on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, and TuneIn. And probably some others that I don't even remember. Have a great day, and we'll see you next week. Take care.
Thanks for listening to the Tax Resolution Ninja Show. Be sure to click subscribe to get updates on our latest episodes.